Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for invitation and for the introduction. I will go straight into the subject. Between riot and pogrom, anti-Jewish violence in 19th century Germany. Talking on anti-Jewish violence in 19th century Germany, there are at least three clusters of action to take under closer investigation. The first one is a series of events in the aftermath of the Napoleonic Wars, the so-called Hep-Hep riots. During late summer of 1819, the second cluster of violent attacks took place during a period of heavy social unrest around the revolutions of 1848. In comparison, the third cluster, located in the Prussian province of Pomerania in 1881, was more restricted and of specific regional character. However, within a broader perspective of international comparison, all these events do not seem to me of having been exceptional grave or extreme anti-Jewish violence. Of course, it will remain a question of definition whether we call those events riots or pogroms. For most of the cases that have to be discussed here, I would prefer the notion of riot, that is, collective violence from below, rather than pogrom, a term that should be reserved only for extreme cases of exclusionary violence aiming at expulsion or even annihilation of the attacked ethnic and minority outgroup. My first point, I talk on Hep-Hep riots of 1819. 4 years after the Congress of Vienna, and only 2 years after a severe food and hunger crisis, 1816 to 17, in many parts of the country, a wave of anti-Jewish violence spread over many states of the Deutsche Bund, covering some 30 sites of open conflict, predominantly in southern and western German regions of Baden, Württemberg, Franconia, Hesse, and Rhineland, but also in some genuine Protestant regions in the north, like the city of Hamburg or in the eastern Prussian provinces. One has to throw a closer look on the initiating and prominent outburst in the Bavarian town of Würzburg in Lower Franconia. During 3 or 4 days at the beginning of August 1819, large crowds gathered on the streets shouting, "Hep, Hep," the somehow ominous battle cry of anti-Jewish action, smashing windows of Jewish-owned houses, destroying the signboards of Jewish shops and pillaging several of those shops as well as private houses. Most of the Jewish inhabitants fled the town. When military and police finally had restored order, 2 persons, one rioter and 1 soldier, had lost their lives. Why was it just Würzburg? Why in the year 1819? And who were the rioters? Not surprisingly, the crowd in Würzburg, as elsewhere, was composed of the lower orders, rough people who used to participate in collective violence. One local citizen and innkeeper is mentioned, a weaver, a painter, some shoemaker, day laborer, carpenter, hat maker, apprentices, and the like. It seems noteworthy to state here that neither in Würzburg, home of a traditional but small university, nor elsewhere, students participated in violent anti-Jewish action. At the beginning of the 19th century, the former Hochstift Würzburg became secularized and, from 1815 on, part of the Bavarian Kingdom. Since 1803, Jews who had been absent from Würzburg since the 17th century were allowed to settle anew in the town. By 1819, the Jewish community had grown to some 400 persons in a town of 20,000 inhabitants. By an edict of emancipation, the Bavarian state had granted political and juridical or legal equality to the Jews. There's much evidence that the fast-growing Jewish community in the town, with its bankers, money lenders, many tradesmen and shopkeepers, was met with resistance, anger, envy of large parts of the resident Christian inhabitants. A controversial debate in newspapers and by pamphlets between foes and friends of Jewish emancipation in the town during the months preceding August 1819 reflects a sharp political and mental division among the Würzburgers. The celebrated return of a town's delegate from a session of the Bavarian Diet in Munich, where among other issues the future of the Jewish emancipation had been debated, gave the initial start for heavy outbreaks of anti-Jewish resentments and action. Since weeks, anti-Semitic rumors, letters, and placards fluttered through the town. There can be no doubt that a large majority of the townspeople would have voted against a complete political and juridical equality, in German Gleichstellung, of the Jews. The riot itself then can be considered as an act of violent street politics from below, which surely had a larger spiritual and political backing from some middle and upper class supporters. Notwithstanding a great variety of violent events within the Hep-Hep riots of 1819, the case of Würzburg can be looked upon as an anti-Jewish action pars pro toto of that time. It was a heavy outburst against full emancipation of the Jews and its perceived economic, social, and political consequences. The underlying and broader motivational framing was made up of a crude mixture of traditional Christian anti-Judaist rumors and beliefs, as well as very concrete contemporary political aims and social economic demands against a local group of religious and ethnic outsiders. Without question, heavy impacts of a widespread anti-Semitic academic discourse during the stressful decade of fundamental change, 1810 to 20, a disturbing time of wars, economic crisis, and political reform, and the circulation of more popular newspaper articles and pamphlets have to be considered. A rough outcome of those heated and resentful aspirations were popular posters and flyers that often preceded and accompanied many of the violent outbreaks. For instance, during the Hamburg riots, slogans like the following were distributed in the streets. Heb, heb, der Jude muss in Dreck. This means circa. Heb, heb, Jews into the dirt. Or heb, heb, Jude verreck. Heb, this would mean heb, heb, may the Jews perish. So I go forward to the next, to my second point, anti-Jewish rioting during the revolution of 1848. At no other time in 19th century German history, collective violence was as widespread as during the severe crisis years around 1848. And within this unrest, anti-Jewish riots occupied a considerable part. A strong anti-Jewish component could be discovered already within many of the food riots of springtime 1847. In Landsberg an der Warthe, this is Prussian province of Brandenburg, in April 47, for instance, the Jewish landowner Louis Boas, who had been buying up potato stock for his distillery, stood in the center of violent attacks by the working poor. Bitter complaints were expressed about the Jews as corn profiteers, forestallers, grain speculators, and the like. The mechanism of Edward P. Thompson's moral economy worked, and violent crowd action then was more probable if landowners, corn dealers, shopkeepers, etc., were Jewish. In March and April 48, during the first and extreme unruly weeks of the revolution, anti-Jewish attacks were most prominent, especially in the agrarian and still more or less feudal regions of the southwest. For the Grand Duchy of Baden alone, some 34 incidents have been documented, often intertwined with anti-feudal actions against manor lords. Threatening letters were at stake before and during the uproar, like this one addressed to the synagogue official in Krautheim, Baden. The letter goes like this. Jule Hirsch Rothschild. After work, gather together the Jews and tell them if they do not leave Krautheim in 3 days, then on the fourth day, all those who are still there will be hung and Krautheim will be burned to the ground. I have spoken, and mark my words. This is what you see on the letter. However, no action occurred in Krautheim. A comparatively well documentation is available for the northern Baden small community of Unterschöpf, where violence broke out on March 8. 7 Jewish houses were demolished and plundered. Numerous promissory notes were stolen. Local militia did not interfere. The main slogan of the rioters is reported as "Freedom lives, one religion, one God, and one ruler." As a whole, one finds three major motives in the anti-Jewish assaults of the Southwest. There was, first, the old tradition of Christian anti-Judaism, a more or less ubiquitous religious mentality, reinforced then through rumors, letters, pamphlets, sermons. Secondly, there was the widespread denouncing of Jews as usurers and hagglers, certainly some reflection of the participation of Jews in the poorly developed credit system on the countryside. Finally, people resisted to the full emancipation, which meant they opposed Jews becoming citizens with equal rights in their communities. In some places, local Jews were forced to sign documents renouncing their share of equal communal rights, including poverty aid. In comparison to the Hep-Hep riots of 1819, anti-Jewish violence around 1848 was more a phenomenon of the countryside and small towns, predominantly in Baden, Württemberg, Hesse, and Bavaria, where tiny Jewish communities in village and country towns were afflicted most often. In larger cities, under the more liberal democratic conditions of the revolution, anti-Jewish violence hardly gained support. Only in some eastern cities of the Habsburg monarchy, including Prague, Bratislava, Pressburg, and Budapest, anti-Jewish riots took a larger role within the revolutionary unrest. Within a long-term history of Jewish-Christian relations in Germany, the revolutionary years represent a contradictory experience for Jews. Hope and fear intensified at the same time. There were, on the one hand, prospects for complete emancipation through general liberal legislation, and on the other hand, newly intensified persecutions through violent crowd assaults from the streets. Now, my third point, more short, anti-Jewish violence after mid-century. As far as we know today, there was only one larger cluster of anti-Jewish violence during the second half of the 19th century. In the summer of 1881, anti-Jewish riots spread through Pomerania, starting in the district town of Neustettin. In some 15 to 20 towns and villages, demonstrators marched through the streets shouting the old catchword, "Hep, hep," or slogans like "Jews to Palestine." People smashed windows and Jewish-owned stores and synagogues. Social tensions and frustrations, anti-Semitic propaganda, and some ambivalent behavior of the government were general causes in the background of the unrest. More obvious than in those cases discussed here before, crude anti-Semitic agitation, party fights between Christian conservatives and liberal Democrats, and newspaper articles on that issue played its role before and during the riots. In this context, the radical Berlin anti-Semitic leader Ernst Henrici has to be mentioned. This is probably Adolf Stöcker, another one, it's not Henrici. He has to be mentioned then as a 27 years old former secondary school teacher who was preaching hardcore anti-Semitism in public lectures throughout the country. In February 1881, he held one of his inflammatory speeches in Neustettin. 5 days later, the local synagogue went up in flames. Only shortly before the riots in June 1881, he undertook a second trip through Pomerania and West Prussia, heating anti-Jewish resentment and emotions in the whole region. I come now to very short concluding remarks. To begin with the Nazi seizure of power and the Holocaust, there is no straight way forward from the 19th century anti-Jewish violence in Germany to the Crystal Night of 1938 and the gas chambers of Auschwitz. Many further steps in between had still to happen and have to be considered. If we evaluate the violence against Jews in Germany until the beginning of the 20th century in a comparative perspective, its extent, form, and gravity does not point obviously to the singular catastrophe of the future. Heavy street violence was at stake in many kinds of crowd actions from below, at least until the middle of the century. And anti-Jewish violence then took almost always more the form of riot than heavy pogrom. However, there were a few incidents that bred out some kind of pogrom atmosphere, threatening Jewish communities not only with violence, but with expulsion or even annihilation. Probably a more grave mortgage from later 19th century times for the future may have been the mushrooming of hardcore popular anti-Semitism propagated by such activists like Hermann Ahlwardt, Ernst Henrici, Wilhelm Marr, or Adolf Stöcker, to mention only a few. Thank you for listening.